Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Well, hello,
we're back in London.
Commentary. I'll tell you what, mate, I'm really stiff today.
Yeah, why?
Because I did this long run. So let's tell people what we're going to do.
Yeah, we're going to go. We're going to go east, Hackney Downs, Hackney Marshes, Springfield Park. We're going to run about 7.5 miles.
Okay. Soft surfaces.
Soft surfaces.
Good. Good for the
because you're stiff. So yeah,
for the ailing legs. Well, I think my tendon's just a bit tight. My right tendon in particular.
You have a tendency to that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
A tendency.
It's getting very tendony. It's, I think it's just doing too many hills in Croatia. I did loads of hills in Croatia.
I like the way you jot that.
Oh, yeah, it was probably because of when I was in Croatia.
So tell us about the hills, the distance, all that stuff.
Well, I haven't been running that much. I've done one long run for the York Marathon in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So I feel I need to do more.
Yeah.
But I did like 18 and a half on Monday.
That's good.
And that felt good, actually.
Well, that's proper.
That felt really good, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much on schedule. I mean, you know, it's like you say, it's 5-6 weeks away.
Yeah, you want to get 3 or 4 in at that or above, though.
Really?
Personally, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And what about week on week? How many miles are you doing?
About 115, 120. Just taking it easy because I don't want to...
Don't overdo it.
Well, some people are, you know, getting to overtraining. I want to stay fresh.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing it... To be honest, on holiday, I didn't do that much. I was running every other day.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just... Like, we basically were staying in a villa on the side of a mountain. And it was mountainous, so everywhere you went, it was really hard work.
Yeah, excellent.
So after a minute, you were just like in pain going up
and hill training is great, but you don't get the miles up when you're going up and down hills.
No, but you feel your strength.
Yes.
You get so strong. So so that was great and the weather was good, but it's all...
What's your feeling? See, if I'm halfway up the hill like that, I would always start up so you know you get to come down later.
Yes. Yeah, I would do that, yeah. But the sort of... It was a mile and a half... From the main road.
Nice day in Butterfield Green. Here we are.
It was a mile and a half from the main road to the villa. All uphill. Severely uphill. And the last 600 metres was like... It was like crazy. It was stupid.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm the bloody idiot doing it. And all the people on holiday thinking, who's this nutter? Just sweating away in the heat. Loving it. Because there's nothing better than a big hill, is there really?
No, no.
Nothing better.
Chew on it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Well, when I did this, I don't know if anyone heard me doing the running for Steve Lamacq's show during the Olympics.
All right, yeah.
But I went to Lake District and ran up a hill listening to their running music, specifically running up a hill, listening to Running Up That Hill.
Like it.
Which is the song.
I can imagine you loving that.
Yeah, and well, the funny thing is me and the producer saying, well, I've been in the Lake District anyway, I said I'll get out there.
Right.
And I think we both had this idea of me kind of tucking this recorder into my raincoat and going up through the rain past the mist and the sheep and stuff.
Right.
And even when I got there, the weather was quite nice. But still, the timing of my run was totally based on getting back to the hotel in time for breakfast.
Right.
Okay. So I just worked it back, you know. And I got to the bottom of this hill. I was going up at about 6 in the morning. Wow. I set off.
Early dawn.
And I realised at that moment that it was about to be sunrise in the mountains.
Oh, what?
It was just incredible. I didn't plan it at all.
What a glorious moment.
Yeah, I was going up Dale Head, which is a good one. It is a lovely climb. And this is what made me think of it, because I was loving running the hill anyway. It's just that glorious surprise of finding that you can.
Yeah, yeah.
And then looking east, there's the Helvellyn Ridge. It's like a blue, pointy ridge of mountains, like a blooming child's drawing of a mountain range.
Right.
And then the sun came up from the other side of it. And it was just incredible.
What was the song you were listening to?
I listened to a few. I was listening to some for the show. I was listening to Running Up That Hill.
Yeah.
Run to the Hills by Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't like the
White Man Came. Class the
So I didn't love that one. But a lot of the songs were specifically mentioned running in the lyrics.
Yes.
Which I found a little bit on the nose.
I'm going to run to you.
But to be fair to Kate Bush, you know, she's got that kind of... She tells the running up the hill in the music as well as the words, doesn't she? With that
I'm running up that road.
Still a bit negative, a miserable song, really.
What did you...
But I tell you what popped out while I was up there was fantastic. Really good for running. No, Spencer Davis. I always find that song a bit stalky.
Yeah.
Keep on running.
Keep on running.
I will keep on running.
Yeah.
And you, Spencer Davis, try and remember that restraining order. But yeah, I was up on the tops, and it only got better. You know, the sun peeled down in a kind of red band across all the mountains. I could see all the highest mountains in England. It was fantastic.
Sounds great.
I was listening to Fool's Gold, High Stone Roses.
Great tune.
I just cruising across
Seminole
the tops.
Seminole House tune. Yeah.
Back on my back is aching. And then, on the way down, Born Slippy by Underworld
from
Trainspotting. Yeah, that's when though.
Real raver armour.
Yeah, I really nearly fell over. Just running downhill pretty much as fast as you can.
Yeah.
And it's bumpy and rocky and stuff. And when you slip or hit a bump, you realise you've got total momentum.
Yes.
You know, if we have trouble running like this,
fast. Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
you turn an ankle or get to the edge of a road suddenly, you stop.
Yeah.
You run down a mountain and you have a bit of trouble. You basically can't change speed at all.
Yeah.
So now you're sprinting and falling over all at once.
That's
but
why.
But it just adds to fun, the fear that you're actually going to smash your face in.
So did you? Your face looks
nice.
Fine.
I stayed up.
That's why fell runners are so good, because they let themselves go down the fells at speed.
Yeah.
It's a real kind of... And that's where they win the races. It's not one on the uphill.
Yeah.
It's one on the down, because it takes real bottle and relaxation.
They do go uphill pretty fast.
Yeah, they do, but it's not... That's not where it's won.
Yeah, it's all in... It's in the fearlessness.
It's crazy. It's just jumping and vaulting.
But also, they kind of... factor in injury in a way that flat athletes would not. You know, they just expect to pull muscles and fall over.
Smash into
they
walls.
They treat their bodies much more like punching bags.
Yeah.
Because it made me think of Matt Barbette saying that I'd never realised that before about competitive cycling. It's basically has a serious risk of falling over an injury.
Yeah.
And the top cyclists kind of expect it and know how to deal with it.
Know how to fall properly sort of thing.
Exactly.
There's loads of people around.
But that was a religious mountain run.
So you've been all over, haven't you? I mean, you've been Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah, since we did our running in Edinburgh, I've done loads more running in Edinburgh. I've been in London for that thing I ran with Inwar Ellams in Brixton really early as well. That was great.
Right.
And then, boo, 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 tunnel. Through the tunnel onto Hackney Downs. And, that one was in the Lake District. And I also ran in the Brecon Beacons at the Green Man. Well, that was a good one. Good kind of bit of physics, because I ran up a short, steep hill.
Right.
To a canal halfway up the hill. So then it was completely flat, which was lovely and really excellent. Very picturesque. Here he is in Hackney Downs.
This is lovely, isn't it? Oh, this is lovely. Oh, yes.
So, I haven't done that many hills. I have to say that mountain was gave me a real, like, ooh, hills.
Right.
And but I didn't go up Arthur's Seat in Edinburgh.
You didn't?
No. Because I was trying to
before?
Yeah, I was trying to keep my miles up, man.
Right.
That's the trick.
So what kind of miles have you been?
Well, I said to myself at the beginning of summer, just don't ever do less miles.
Right.
So it started out about
just 20, keep going.
25, 26.
Right.
And I've kind of gone 26, 28, 30, 32. Oh. And last week I went 33.
Well, that's actually really good. That's really sensible.
It's actually getting easier to fit it in, getting closer to the long run. Because, like you said, initially that's all shorter runs, so you can sometimes end up running six times a week. Whereas last week, one of my runs was 15 miles.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to get quite so many of those in.
It felt that's good. Kind of, that's perfect increasing of mileage, like kind of 10% a week, as opposed to my massively yo-yo. I'm more like 42, 47, 22, 20,
yeah.
36. Do you know, I'm a bit all over, you
but
know?
I'm sure that your body just says, okay, so we're running, we'll be running.
Yeah, yeah, it just rolls with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's good to, it is that long run thing, you forget. One thing, you probably felt it a bit as you approached the 15.
Yeah.
But when you just get tired of the longer it goes.
Yeah.
It's very simple, isn't it?
Very simple.
Yeah. Right. It's just like,
and, but I think there's another level, because you do have that fuel moment where you suddenly, where your body kind of, it's
kinks
a bit
in.
Like the later version of that. Well, you're 2 minutes in and your body goes, oh God,
yeah.
We're not running for ages, are we?
Yeah.
You get through that. You run for another hour and a half. If you're fit and steady and well-fueled like me and you might get 2 hours.
Yeah.
But once you get to 2 hours, your body says,
yes.
What about now? We're stopping now.
It's the third hour, isn't it?
And then something starts to ache. And because you're going steady, you don't notice it for a while. And then you think, oh, wait a minute. That's hurting, actually. But no, it felt good. Felt good. That 15, I was still in Edinburgh and I ran all the way east to the seaside.
Right.
Ran along by the sea at Musselburgh.
No, it's the third hour that gets you.
Yeah. The third ten.
The third ten.
Now, I think we should speak freely about the fact that
we've pulled out.
We were told you we were going to run 50K, and one day we really should. But realistically, we found that we haven't
done... Wait. I wonder, is there a toilet on Hackney Downs? Is
yes, do you want to go back to it?
I won't mind, yeah. Sorry, mate.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Sorry.
Steve, if you can cue up the flushing noise...
So I'd be running in discomfort. There's no need for that.
But it's nice. It means you get to go this way. Look, just beginnings of autumn on Hackney Downs. There's an orange tree there. Look at that. Gorgeous.
So we've had to just face the logic of the situation and just say, 50K sounds great and is great, but it's just sort of applying reality to the numbers that
that's
involves.
Right.
It actually involves running 31 miles.
And realistically...
We might just knacker ourselves
up too
much.
You know, the upside is, I think, I want a better marathon than London.
Yes.
And you might have your best marathon in a while, so we've got to play for that.
Yes.
And
yes.
This isn't going to help with that.
I thought it would do if we'd done loads of long runs, and we're regularly doing 22, 23s now.
Yeah.
But because we're not...
Yeah.
To go from...
And I was never going
to... Yeah. But to go from your 15 last week... to 31 next week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's just saying, let's just injure myself.
That's right. So, yeah, we bottled. We bottled on the tense path. And we apologised. But I noticed that a few of you out there, like us, are training for Yorkshire. How's it going?
Yeah.
I think we're doing okay. I think that feeling of concern as we come out of the summer holidays is healthy.
Yeah.
It's the right thing.
We've got time. I mean, my main aim over the summer was to get a lot faster over 5K.
Yeah.
Done it.
Very good.
Tick,
oh, you really did.
That one.
What's your PB down on the park on?
18:38.
That's ridiculous.
So, so that's faster. So now it's about getting the distance, isn't it?
I think speed's dropped away from me a bit. Having said that, on my long runs, I've been faster than I thought, you know?
Right.
But I'll try and get some pace in this week and see how I do.
Well, and you're doing a 5K. You're
I'll
doing
do the park run in Newcastle this weekend, so I don't know how that goes. And, in fact, I'm going to ask online where I should go for that. And, but the thing is, hopefully, touch wood, it's good for me because my main aim...
Here we go.
Thank you. My main aim for Yorkshire is to run it better and faster than I ran London.
Right.
And I was really on my uppers for London.
Yeah.
So as long as I don't get injured and ill again, I've got the advantage.
I think that's the main thing. It's like when you look at... I look at pre-London, you look at a lot of marathon blocks of training.
Yeah.
They're often interrupted by injury and illness, aren't they?
Yeah, that's...
So if we can avoid that, it would be great.
Absolutely. I mean, last winter was a tough winter in all kinds of ways.
Yeah.
And it's nice to put it behind me a little bit. And last time I did Yorkshire, of course, I got my PB.
Yeah.
Sub 3:15. I think that is possibly in my power with good training.
Right.
But from here, I can run a long way in 7.5 minute miles.
Yeah.
And that puts me in between 3:15 and 3:30.
Yeah.
And I am fine with that zone now.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I think another sub 3:30 would be just good, steady, solid fitness. And that would do me.
It's just getting fit enough so that you can enjoy the day, isn't it?
That's right.
Enjoy the marathon and run and feel not too destroyed. You're going to feel...
It's a tough
finish at the end.
Yes.
But it's like, but there's degrees of it, isn't it?
Finished at the finish.
Yeah.
No, exactly. I mean, I've never felt like I did at London this year, just feeling like I'd spent everything. Yeah. And I was really glad I had. I mean,
it's amazing to do.
Even as I thought, I think I might need to go to hospital, I was thinking, I'm pleasing myself for that. But
it is that feeling of, like, you're sort of inside the abyss, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, I am the abyss.
And I also really noticed about probably 2 months after London when I thought, oh, yeah, I'm fit now.
Right.
And made me realise what... It's easier to see when you're fit than when you're unfit, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's easier to see what you are than
what
you're not.
Because you neglected all the core work and all that.
Exactly. I was leaving out all the upper body stuff because of my chest. And I really missed it. So bringing that all back in has been great. But having said, the other thing I've done for the first time ever this summer is be sanguine about running every day.
Right.
Well, just I don't chill run out every that. Day, but if I do, it's not going to be a problem, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
And it's
that's
kind of
good. Yeah.
So it's different what I'm asking of my body, I suppose. I'm saying.
And are you varying the distances at all?
Yeah, totally.
Because I know you like to get locked into the seven.
No, I really
seven
am.
Thing. Well, that's great.
No, this 7.5 this week. I'm doing 7.5 this, dear listener. I spent Monday travelling home from Edinburgh. So I've got 4 days before the weekend.
We're basically talking to you at the end of a war, aren't we?
Yeah, that's
can
right.
Not just say what it is.
I'm back from the front.
The amount of travelling and gigs and Edinburgh you've done this summer.
Yeah.
This should be a shield.
It's incredible. Well, ask me how I got my, talking of my rib injury, my chest has been flown up again the last few days.
Right.
Ask me why that is.
Why is that, Rob?
Well, it got hurt when I stage dived at that gig at the weekend. I was being carried topless aloft to the audience in a big circuit of the dance floor. And I was saying to the bloke underneath me on my left, "Oh, not there. That's where I had my crack. Never mind."
The marathon runner stage dives.
Easy on the tendons. Yes. So, yeah, I've got...
Your life is so different to mine.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Was it good? Was it euphoric at the end?
Well, it was good. It was good playing that gig. You know, it's funny. I was in a covers band at Leighton Live. If you haven't heard of Leighton Live, it's a famous Edinburgh gig that starts at 1 a.m. 2 hours of comedy in front of a fairly wild late night audience, and then 2 hours of music. And I formed a supergroup with a band called the White Panthers. What made them a supergroup was adding me.
Yeah, of course.
It's quite an egotistical description when you think about it. And we played every night from 3 a.m. till 5 a.m.
You've had so many late nights as well, mate. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I don't know how I do it.
So I've been on nights for a month.
Exactly. And in the end it starts to... You know, I had a couple of moments. I had a little nap one evening last week. Probably went to bed about 8:45 and got up about 8:15.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a nap.
Yeah.
And when I woke up, I did not know what time of day it was, what day it was.
It's like lost. Having jet lag constantly.
Absolutely lost. I love being in a band. It's very, I do it to see what I learn from it. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But one of the things I learned from it this time is that I had less need of it than I used to have.
Right.
Cinderband a couple of years ago, and it kind of changed my life. I was, oh God, I should have been doing this. And this time, I was like, yeah, this is fine. This is okay. So it's like, right, I've been through a door. I didn't have to go back through. The best thing about it for me is the singing. And I don't know how much you guys think this is relevant, but for me, it's totally tied in with the running, because I was just more in control of my singing than ever before, because I get it about the running, in that it's muscular, you know, it's a hard physical activity.
Right.
And you've got to strike that balance between doing it and doing it to the utmost, you know, kind of wearing yourself out, using everything you've got.
Right.
But without breaking yourself,
but
without injury.
Whilst doing it, sort of thing.
So by the end of that run of doing the band, at the beginning I was really kind of nervy and losing my voice and stuff and all this business. And by the end, just wasn't thinking about it.
Sounds great.
Just relaxed into it, like just like the running, doing it every day, you know.
Yeah.
So in the daytime, you might hear a little bit of an edge on my voice, because it's a working voice, you know. It's not all clean and untouched.
Yeah.
But then I'd get to the gig, and it would do everything I asked of it, you know, without me particularly worrying about it.
I'd just hit all the
big notes and just sing the songs without any concern, because it was warmed up and trained up and good to go.
That's the great thing about running every day, is it makes running less an unusual activity that you do occasionally.
That's
more
right.
Just part of the fabric of your life. And
I really chill into it.
Yeah.
You remember that guy on the train who said there's a big difference between running twice a week and running three times a week?
Yeah.
I think you're so right, and you can take that a bit further.
Yes. Yeah.
I think as my son goes to secondary school, I'm going to start running out with him when he goes.
Right, okay.
Because I think that's a nice... That's a nice balance between going with him and leaving him to himself, you know.
Right, okay.
And over time,
yeah,
we'll probably get further and further away from each other.
Yes, yeah.
But that ties in with the plan to run every day. What it is, it's like you leave your body on... it's like you're always idling.
Yeah.
You never go all the way to off.
Yeah. You click into it, it's just... And it is very natural running, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a good old natural. I'll tell you what, something that surprised me at the weekend, because I did the park run.
Yeah.
On Saturday. Really tired. Really stiff. To the extent of when we set off for it, it felt absurd that I was doing it. My legs were so stiff.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did it. And afterwards, I was chatting to some young kids, who came quite near the front of the race.
Yeah.
They're really gentle, really nice kids. And they're into this... I'm quite intrigued by these sort of young, cool running groups.
Yeah.
They're in this outfit called Track Mafia. So it's sort of like... I think they're based in, like, Paddington or something. They meet midweek. And they were just like this new wave of... Not really a club, although they do races. Not like a traditional club. Like, I'm in the Heathside, and it's...
It's not as formal as that, is it?
It feels less formal, but it's more of a kind of...
It's a crew.
Sort of running gang crew.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's got sort of hip-hop-ish elements. And they were just really, really nice.
Yeah,
really cool kids. It was just like... This feels new.
It's what the internet and social networks do for running, isn't it? It's a way of doing it now which didn't really exist before. But on the other hand, there's still that element of otherness. It's nice to take your... I don't really like the word, but it's nice to take your hobby and recognise its otherness, its alternativeness.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, because running clubs, like I was talking to my brother about cycling clubs.
Right.
You know, I think when you're in the country and you walk into a pub and then suddenly around the bar there's all these 60-year-old guys in neckerchiefs.
Right,
and they're kind of strangely leery.
Yes.
Yeah, this is us.
Right.
And he was saying, my brother was saying, that, of course, cycling clubs used to be genuinely illegal.
Right.
You weren't allowed to.
Right, okay.
So, you know, it was really badass and piratical.
Right.
To hang out with your mates and get your neckerchiefs on.
Yeah.
It's pretty busy on the towpath here. Yeah. A couple of bikes coming up, a few bottles. I very nearly ran slap bang into the bollard then.
Yeah, great.
It got the injury we were talking about that would really make that marathon no fun at all. That coot is standing on quite a lot of flotsam in the river. That doesn't look healthy, does it? You kind of want to... I wonder if there's any water there at all under that coot.
It's found a raft.
It's on a raft.
Help me!
in amongst some weed. There was water here before.
Do you think maybe he's on holiday? Is that his holiday?
Maybe.
Just nipping down the canal. Just chilling out.
Yeah.
But what was weird
bit
about
of a busman's holiday for a coot. Yeah. The canal.
Found a bit of wood down the canal. But it was just... Running clubs didn't used to be cool. But these things, like, I mean, track mafia.
Yeah.
It's like the Run Dem Crew or something.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's cool. Oh, it's sort of hip-hop and...
In what Elham's Midnight Run, which isn't actually a run, but they walk and look at the city and go through right. the night and do kind of artsy stuff as they go. It's like a festival on the move.
Yeah, it's... What I'm saying is I'm all for it. I mean, it just seems really good fun, you know?
Yeah, and it's
people
important
really
that
people really enjoy
it...
their running. But and also, some of them really quick. I mean, this guy did just over 17 for 5K.
Yeah, yeah.
But sort of in a casual way.
Yeah,
do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
He wasn't bothered about it. He was just chilling out doing it.
Well, compared to what I was saying about singing, is that you want to access it, don't you? You want to train and be good without getting all stressed and getting your head down.
Yeah, I think so.
Because that's when you lose it. That's when you disappoint yourself or you get injured or whatever.
Yeah.
You've got to stay relaxed.
Yeah. They're just naturally fit young people who decided to do that instead of clubbing for 10 years, which is what I did.
Yeah, see, I was a naturally fat young person.
Yeah, it's sort of... But if you'd have had the track mafia when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And it's like...
I think if they'd played indie guitars and had long floppy hair at the front.
I wonder if you get your indie...
There's no goth run clubs
There's
yet.
No goth mafia.
Well,
no.
If there are, I don't know about it. Anyway, I'm much too old for it, but...
They meet down the cemetery for glue sniffing and liquid paper daubings of a Tuesday.
Liquid paper daubings. Yeah. Other liquid paper products are available. Yeah.
So anyway, I might join. I think I'd be too old to join. They all seem under. They all seem like mid-20s and under.
Yeah, but for
they
an old dude,
old,
you're quite
some
a badass.
Bloke.
Hey, we get in touch and see if we could go for a run with them.
Actually, I think we probably could.
I have to say, though, that was another thing about being in the band. It's a band of... I slightly misled. I don't want to take his name in vain, but my mate, Cheva, who was my contact with this band...
Yeah.
He's nearly as old as me.
Right.
But put it this way, you wouldn't know it.
Right.
You know, from his lifestyle.
Yes.
And his mates. And all the rest of the people in his band. A good, you know, a good generation younger than me.
Yeah.
And then we're playing this. Look, you know, guess who stays up in Edinburgh till 5 in the morning? I'll give you a clue. They're not in their 40s.
No, they don't. No.
You know, one night we played Pops.
I'm amazed you did it.
Common People. And there was several. It was only a small crowd. It's midweek.
Right.
And there were some very young women just looking at us like, what the hell is this? And there was this one woman, and she looked like a kind of deputy head. She was wearing a lanyard and some pretty formal specs. She was going, yeah, cheer! So, yeah, we're totally playing to this group.
Crowd.
And then on the Friday night, which was a huge banger of a gig, it was really cooking. And then this really extremely camp Welsh guy said to me, you look like a librarian who's doing it for a hobby.
I know, I saw you put that on Facebook.
Oh, it's got it.
I saw
really
you
skewered because... Your
I
thing is, because what
enjoy
he said
that moment,
was entirely accurate.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when I remembered, you know, that I'm just standing there in the corner with long grey hair and my who's he trying to fall flying V. And
it's good to remember how old you are.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm into
it. It's
really
good to do that.
There's no shame in it. Sorry, look how clear the water is there.
That's fab, isn't it?
That's gorgeous. It's like being back. Oh, hello, ducks.
Oh, yeah. Hello, mate.
We scared the living bejabers out of those ducks looking at this clear water.
Running commentary.
Quacking.
Loving it.
Dysentery this way.
Loving it.
So,
Well, I had one of those the other day. I was with my... I was with some mates, really good old mates. We went out for a meal in Dalston.
Yeah.
Which is... And we took a gamble. Normally we go to the same restaurants every time, but...
Yeah.
We thought, you know what, you only live once. Let's go somewhere else. Of course, you might live more than once if any Buddhists out there and reincarnation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have we missed our turn off?
The usual caveat supply.
Yeah, yeah.
And Cuban meal... Fantastic. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
We got there. Their big
so you were Havana Cuban meal?
Oh, we were Havana Cuban meal. We scored.
Yeah.
They're big drinkers, so we got there. Later we realised they'd timed it, so we got there for happy hour.
Yeah, good.
So two cocktails each for a tenner.
Nice.
So if there's four of you with eight cocktails on the table,
yeah,
you feel a bit childish.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, we drank them. Loads of food. loads of wine.
Yeah, we
lovely.
Had
it costs about 35 quid a head, which is great. And then we...
Shoes off. Take them with us, get a bit of this grass under
actually,
our feet.
Actually, mate, that's a great call, actually.
Yeah, because it's beautiful here in Hackney Marshes. We went slightly the wrong way.
I could do with
to get onto a kind of gravel track.
I could do with a lap of this in my with a shoeless. I don't know if how that fits, because it would really help my tendons.
It will get a bit long. Well, let's go around the edge of it, and see. We have to carry out. Oh, and then come back to our shoes.
No, I won't leave my shoes in Hackney.
No.
They won't be. there'd be an if we left our shoes there, an alarm would sound off somewhere, and people just... unattended trainers, people would just raise... They'd be gone, mate.
Yeah, they look pretty tempting.
I'd give it like 30 seconds.
They didn't smell that tempting, would they? Well, we'd just follow the edge until we'd come off anyway, but
okay,
we'll stay on the grass and
good idea.
Avoid the road and the trees. It gets a bit midgy in there as well. So, sorry, once you've got these shoes in our hands, we're getting back to you and your... I went to a restaurant the other day and they gave us two cocktails each right at the beginning. They wouldn't really take no for an answer.
Right.
And I said, oh, well, we could have one each and a fourth one, you know, because there's only three of us. And they're like,
right.
No, it's... You'll have six.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Good fun, though. Good start to a meal.
Yeah.
And so we did that and it was great. Then we went back.
Yeah.
And we played a game called Chronology.
Right.
Which is about dates and facts and things. It's quite involving. They play it all the time. Everyone's getting really drunk.
Yeah.
And I'm unsure how accurate I can get about the portrayal of the evening.
Right. It got a little bit out of hand?
Yeah. Certain substances came out.
Oh, there it is. I tried to help you be circumspect.
That I no longer partake in.
Yeah.
But it was a real... It was a real tipping point, really, because I was really drunk.
Yeah.
So I was in a suggestible state.
Yeah.
And everyone else was doing it. And I thought, you know what? I've got to run 18 miles tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
just this doesn't fit with that.
No.
Do you know what I mean? There's a massive part of me wanted to just dive in.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I'm 47. I really want to do a good marathon, and it's over. I'll tell you the chronology. It's over.
Yeah.
This is over.
See the end of the chronology. We're there. But that's the thing, running all right into sharp relief. But whatever the context, that is the basic thing of being older.
Yeah.
Is that when we used to party, in whatever way,
yeah.
as young people, like those people I was playing to in Edinburgh,
yeah.
you don't have any thought about what you've got to do the next day.
Yeah.
Because what you don't even realise at the time is that... Nothing you're doing the next day is of any particular importance.
Yes, yeah.
You know.
But I mean, me running 80, 90 miles is only important to me. It's not something I had to do, it's a choice, isn't
no,
it?
No, that's
like,
true.
And my mates are like, you know, early 50s. They're just, it's just like, but that's a great thing for me, what running gives me.
Yeah.
It gives me a container for every physical decision that I make.
I think also, so you know, like, that when you're younger, you're trying all different things. Because when you're older and doing that, there is a worrying whiff of escape.
Of course,
I really need to escape the life I'm in.
Yeah, and also it's like
that went last.
It's like we have done this.
Yeah.
This isn't something that we haven't tried.
It's not a new and exciting experience.
We've partaken of this quite fulsomely.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just it was just I literally put a line under it, and it was good. It felt great.
Because they were putting a line on the back of it on the system,
so it felt great.
Yeah.
And the next day I woke up, I was a little bit hungover, not too bad, and I did 18 miles.
I just had a great little tread on a stone moment. It's just a little stone.
It's actually quite good barefoot running. You've got to be careful.
They were saying, so my brother said years ago, talking to Susie and everyone about the Marathon de Sable. But my brother said years ago, was he there? Or was it a friend of him telling him that just people running in the night,
right,
over in the desert, you know,
yeah,
or running in the dark anyway, with the little all you got is these little head torches and the sound of
sounds
people
amazing.
Treading on rocks,
right?
Like that. Fun times.
I used to do a lot of barefoot running.
Yeah, I'm terrible at barefoot anyway. You know, when you see people strolling around.
Right.
I'm always picking my way.
It's good to do it every night. It's good to walk around the house barefoot. It's just good for your feet.
Yeah.
And your kind of muscles, you know.
The other thing is, and of course, anyone who's listened to running commentary for any period of time will know that this is true. No one wants to see our feet. Because
no.
I've got toe deformity and you've got a ganglion.
This ganglion still retains its ability to shock.
Imagine a fleshy teardrop, listeners.
Yeah.
But bigger. It's not good. This guy's topless. I've run around here topless before.
Have you really?
Nice place to catch the summer. It was incredibly hot.
Yeah.
But I was quite paranoid, there was no one about. I think ultimately that's worse, isn't it? You can be like a builder or something, get your top off, and not worry about it. If you're me, you're like, oh, terribly sorry. But
you're going to be shameless.
And this makes it a bit of a thing.
Yeah.
This is the path.
This is going
to really have to pick our way across this.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Commentary. It's 4 years since the riots and fires
right
in London. I remember them because I was at Edinburgh, and it's just so funny because not just being at the Edinburgh Festival, but being amongst comedians at the Edinburgh Festival. I mean, that was right. The nice thing about doing the band, is something a bit different.
Yeah.
You get amongst comics at the Edinburgh Festival. It is, I've used this phrase before, but it's true. It's like a firestorm of narcissism.
Right.
You know? Everyone is so concerned, and quite rightly, with their tiny little world.
Yeah.
And then when London was basically on fire, you know, you're having these conversations with people about their reviews and how many people they'd had in, and then saying, oh, by the way, is your
London's
wife or
fire.
Girlfriend
yeah.
near any of the trouble?
Oh, no, they're just in Tottenham.
They're
all right.
Apparently the windows of Tesco's are cracked, but she's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and it threw it into fairly sharp relief.
It was actually quite nice of me to go to Edinburgh just to watch shows, because I quite enjoyed chilling with comics.
Yeah.
But then that's only because I was there for 3-4 days and I wasn't doing a show, you know.
It's so long.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's ridiculously long.
That's right. I did, because the Green Man was lovely.
Right.
And that's long enough. You know, turn up there on a Friday, or maybe even a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Right.
Go home a Sunday, or even Monday. I'll go Friday to Sunday. And yeah, you're camping. So it's slightly more extreme in terms of getting enough rest. But basically, it's a full experience with this, maybe your own show,
right,
a group show, someone else's show.
Okay.
You see some friends, you make friends with some strangers.
Yeah.
You have a night drinking, you have a night not drinking. You know what I mean? It's a whole festival
story.
It's a big
experience, yeah.
And you go back to Edinburgh and think, what do the other 3 weeks add to that?
Yes.
Those highs and lows that we just had.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just the way it goes on all of August.
Yeah.
I go in the middle of August, in the beginning, have a laugh, come away. Go back home, do loads of stuff, go to Croatia, come back, and everyone's still in Edinburgh.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like completely absurd.
It's crazy talk.
Yeah.
Well, I did think this year, and I had a really good time this year, and it's interesting what we're saying about being happy being your age. It's in the best way, I'm too old for it.
Yeah, I felt that when I went. I love being there, but it just felt like it's new experiences.
Yeah,
I've done
yeah.
7 or 8 Edinburghs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I've done more than that. I mean, in terms of, because I went to Edinburgh, you know, for almost a decade before I was a comedian.
Right.
Because I first went there with theatre, and then I just loved it, and would get there whenever I could, and then I lived there.
Right.
So next year, it's 25 years since I started going, and I always, you know, it's like a massive mainstay of my life. When I got there this time, I was like, it just feels like something from my former life.
This time next year will be the Running Commentary American Tour.
That's right.
We'll be just doing a series of races and interviews with you know, people from American culture.
We'll be in Montana running with Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah,
of course you will.
So that's a somersault.
Yeah. Talking of running commentary on tour, I hope that you hear this podcast before we do the podcast festival. King's Place, September the 24th.
It's going to be massive.
It's going to be massive. We're doing a show, a post-run podcast live at King's Place. That's at 4 o'clock. But you can, it's free, but you've got to book it because there's only a limited amount of places. Run with us on the actual run.
Go for a little
before
run.
The show. That's at 3:15. Get it booked up because there's only limited places. It's going to sell out and it hasn't sold out yet. And come with us.
And where are we going to go for a run?
I think I've got to check how far it is.
Right.
We don't want to go too far anyway, only for half an hour. But I think we should start at King's Place and head for Primrose Hill and back.
Yeah, that'd be great, yeah.
Well, I'll check the distance.
Maybe get a couple of different mics and wife, a couple of people up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Come and join in. Give us your opinions.
Yeah.
You look like a librarian who's doing it for a hobby. Yeah. Well, I kind of am, all right?
You look like a bloke running.
You look like you're far too old for this.
And the podcasts are out and up with, you know, Watson and Jason Byrne and Zoe Lyons.
Simon Evans.
And they were nice. They were
really good. It's so nice to, as we were saying, it's a bit of a secret. It's good for us to do it because the comedians who run, we're pretty much the only ones who are out.
Right.
You know, capital O, out.
Yeah.
Running comedians, because most of them keep their heads down because it just doesn't fit the badassery of being a comic.
Yeah.
That does really, because as you rightly pointed out, you can really square running with drinking.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Works well.
Here we go.
I know we can get through here. A little bit further. Just watch out for syringes. It was interesting, actually. You were sort of claiming the high ground at that do the other day because you were running 18, 19 miles the next day.
I wasn't claiming that. I was on the precipice of a bad decision.
Yeah, and you.
I was clutching at a straw.
Yeah.
That I'd made myself.
Did I tell you? Yeah, talking about Buddhist Goans. Have you ever talked about the one from the book The Curious Case of Sid Finch, where the guy is being chased by a tiger,
right,
and he falls over a cliff?
Yeah, it's gone.
Do you remember this one?
I don't remember it.
No. So it's a Buddhist koan, you know, it's designed to bend your mind.
Yeah.
And there's this bloke, and he's walking in the hills somewhere, Asian and Eastern and mystic.
Right.
Black tiger jumps out.
Yeah.
Scares him, and he falls over the edge. Luckily, he catches onto a vine and doesn't fall all the way into the canyon below. Tiger's still at the top, snarling. I can't go back up there. He looks down. There's a ledge not far below. He thinks I'll drop down to that. And at that moment, white tiger on the ledge. He's hanging on. Black tiger above, white tiger below. And he notices that the vine he's hanging on is being nibbled out of the top by two mice. Two mice, as Christopher Walken once said.
Tense.
A white mouse and a black mouse nibbling away.
Yeah.
Further down the vine, nearer to him, he notices some wild strawberries growing. And with his free hand, he picks one off and pops it in his mouth. Delicious.
And that was when he achieved enlightenment.
Yeah. Then he hoiks himself up over the black tiger, saves the world.
Right. He distracts the white tiger with the strawberries.
Chucks it right in his eyes. I was running in Wales. I didn't even mention that running because it's that long ago, but I've been running in Wales as well. And going up a long road hill.
Right.
On quite a big country lane, but a bigger one where you're against the hedge.
Right.
But a lorry could come down, you know. Okay. So it's a little bit of fear of death.
Yeah.
And also a long, long hill.
Yeah.
And in the hedgerow there were wild strawberries growing.
Nice.
I felt like I was living that go out.
Nice.
Between the toughness of the climb and the joy of the running and the fear of death from lorries and the delicious little strawberries.
It's quite exhilarating, isn't it, running headlong into traffic?
Yeah.
When you find yourself on a busy... Every now and again you go for a run.
Yeah.
And you find yourself on like a dual carriageway or something.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you're doing.
It's like Haruki Murakami doing that long run in Greece.
Yeah.
And just finding that all he's doing is basically
dodging
running a bypass around the bars.
Yeah. And you're meant to run facing the traffic, aren't you? That seems to be the rule.
That's the highway code, because then you can see them and they can see you.
Yeah, but it's still pretty hairy, isn't it?
We finished the barefoot part of our run. He's putting them back on.
Let's put the two.
Oh, we have to show those again.
Two things together.
Oh my God. There's us. Look, let's get us. That's us looking down. And here are the.
Here's what we're looking at.
There's another one. Selfie it. There's the feet that no one wants to see that Paul insists on showing you. There they are.
The foot collision.
we could claim that those two manky right feet, are actually one of our pairs of feet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, Hackney Marshes, it really feels like the end of summer. You can feel it. The wind's blowing in, like the good weather's going.
Yeah.
The lovely grass is all dry.
We've had a bit of a summer, because you haven't been here, have you?
Well, I haven't, but it was great to come back to it, because I was in autumn in Scotland.
Yeah.
But it's blowing in now. It's very, it's almost Keatsian. I feel like we're caught in a moment here, and it will soon be gone.
Yeah.
Season of mists and mellow fruitfulness is coming. Keats, he was a cheerful bloke.
Was he cheerful?
No.
Was he miserable? Was he?
Yes. He was just trying. He was just worried. He was scared. You know, time passing and anything wonderful was
just fleeting.
The fleetingness bothered him a lot. You know,
as opposed
like
to
joy, whose hand is always at his lips, bidding adieu. So get over it, mate. Just enjoy it.
Just chill out. Just chill out, mate. Yeah.
It was like he knew the future as well.
The wingeth doth destroy. What's that? Clutching onto joy and destroying it in the same. Basically, enjoy the strawberries. If you see a strawberry, enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe even have one.
Even if you're being chased by tigers.
Yeah.
But then Keats was right to be scared of time, because he was dead at 27.
So maybe he had a foreboding, did it? Did he? What did he die?
I had a foreboding, but I didn't understand it because I hadn't seen the first three. Oh, yeah.
Leave a little gap in the woods and you sneak through with one.
The barn, that's right. Took him quite seriously for a second there, and here comes.
So what did he die of, old Keats?
I was trying to remember whether he committed suicide or died of being ill. I can't remember. I think he might have poisoned himself, but he might have just had consumption or something. I'll look it up. See you next time.
Maybe ironically, he ate too many strawberries.
But he did feel like, I mean, maybe we were applying a narrative, but we were looking at this when I studied it. We were looking at negative capability in this, trying to enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
And in the several odes, you know, Ode to a Nightingale, Ode on a Grecian Urn.
Right.
We're very much saying, oh, this is awful, because this beauty, and there's people on the Grecian Urn having a good time, and now they're long dead, you know.
Right.
Nightingale singing in the night, but look at the night, it's a miserable place. And then to autumn, which he doesn't call an ode. I don't know if that's a thing.
Right.
It's just to autumn. It's so clear that autumn is the ephemeral one, is this moment in time.
Yeah.
But he catches it, you know. And that's the one that people always remember as well. So he did manage to bottle that. I mean, in a way, that's the dare of autumn, isn't it? Autumn dares you to say, this can't last, you know, everything about this would be gone in a month. And yet look at the beauty of it and how great it is, you know, that's fine.
Because it's also about the passage of a year, isn't it?
Yes.
It's just like years go quickly, and they seem to go quicker as you get older.
Yeah.
But then at the end of every year, you're still a bit different.
Yeah, yeah.
To the start of it, and autumn's part of that process, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean,
sometimes you're at the end of summer and nothing's really changed, but just by going through autumn, you change.
Yeah, and it's a dying away, isn't it? I mean, it's all nature. All the growing of the year. It's finishing.
Yeah.
It's all about conclusions. Conclusions is the right word, because you can draw a conclusion. Go, I really learnt a lot, but also conclusion is an ending. You know, it's coming to a finish.
It's letting some things go, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
There's stuff to be let go.
So it hasn't happened yet. It's nice today.
Yeah, but it's like, but it's, letting some things go means that new stuff can come in its place, isn't
it? That's right.
You have to let stuff go.
Absolutely.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's a nice little moment.
I can never remember what those plants are properly called, but we know them as granny poppers. And it's a shame that my children aren't here, because I never let them do the granny poppers.
That is gorgeous.
There's enough here that they could pop a couple.
That's like an ocean of something green.
Yeah, good. Keats himself would have been pleased with that.
I saw an ocean of something green, but I had to let it go. It was awesome.
Well,
so maybe with you it's a band. Maybe the concept of a band in the summer or something.
I don't know. I think it's elements of going to the Edinburgh Festival.
Right.
As I said to my family, I mean, I love Edinburgh and we've got real history. I'm sure we'll be back. I'll probably be back next summer.
Yeah.
But it'll be different.
Yeah.
That sort of dream of Edinburgh from when I first went there And certainly from when I first went as a comedian, and the model and the way of doing it and everything.
That's
time
over,
to move on.
That's changed, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And
I agree.
I hope I didn't. I mean, the thing is I do beat this, which is so great, and that's always fun in Edinburgh.
Right.
So that'll always lead me back there, but it's not enough.
It's quite... when you're young, things like Edinburgh, and this could be like anyone's career, couldn't it? It could be supplying to anyone who grows up and has a career and has ideas and whatever.
And goes from having a job to a career.
And ambitions or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're young, Edinburgh's everything.
Yeah.
And then you get older and it's just a small part of a bigger life, isn't it?
Because like doctors or whatever, you specialise.
Yeah.
You work out what you do with your time.
Yeah.
And of course you have to do it all year round.
So and I'm feeling okay. I'm sort of, my muscles are loosening a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no option, is it? I have to.
Yeah, and I think that's... Surely it's therapeutic running on the dry grass with the feet out.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Barefoot running is the thing, isn't it? I mean, when I started out, let alone when you started out, all running shoes were like boats.
Yes.
Like little... Like strapping a couple of courses.
It was all about the cushioning, wasn't it? Massive cushioning.
Yeah, yeah. Strapping them on. And now even my shoes, which are fairly heavy-duty distance shoes, are very soft and forgiving. Yeah. Go left here out towards the marshes.
There's constant... It's funny for something so simple, how the orthodox is constantly changing, isn't it, with running?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, some people into barefoot running, some aren't. Even stretching, dynamic stretching.
Yeah, yeah.
Static stretching. Just like... Some people want to get faster by running less.
Yeah.
It's like run faster, run less. Some run... It's just sort of like...
And it's the same. It's like when you're pregnant or have a small baby. You know, if you have a couple of years apart, all the things that you have to do change.
Changes, yeah.
And in the end, you think... You start having to assume that no one knows anything.
Yeah.
Because every opinion... is offered with the same level of power.
You just got to listen to your body, innit?
Absolutely, and try and take everything off board, on board.
Yeah.
Don't think of them as contradictions, but it's different sides of the same thing.
Yeah.
You got to stretch before you run, you got to not stretch before you run, you got to eat the strawberry before the tigers get you.
Yeah, you got to... if you feel like stretching in the middle of the run, stop for a stretch, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like wisdom on a long run.
Maybe she has it on.
If you stiffen up... She's walking the dog and talking on the phone. No time for...
So we're big.
She's walking a cat.
Up at wow.
It's strange.
Hey up.
Sorry, cat. We don't mean to scare you. Do you mind if I take your picture? Just because you've got a cat there. Thanks.
I reckon that... I reckon by the way she was holding that.
She was a witch.
That's quite dangerous. Was that a witch? Let's run away quickly.
Yeah.
It was something really...
I said, do you mind if I take your picture? And she nodded and then just turned her head away from me like Jason Bourne.
Because she knew that your camera would explode if you got hurt.
Tell you, if it can survive a picture of your foot, then it can take a picture of a witch.
Listen, that was an odd moment.
Wasn't it?
First, the way she was holding the cat, like it was crazy... angry, vicious cat.
It's actually changed all her reality. She went from being a stretching runner
to a
woman standing there with two dogs.
Yeah.
And then she was there with a cat and a pigeon. Yeah. And do you know what else she had?
What?
Funny eyes.
Did she?
Never trust them. Yeah, good. The witch on the marshes.
It's got a bit of witchcraft.
Well, expected because it's a witchcraft. So
with you, I think with a marathon, isn't a big one of it? He's running the whole... You've had a couple of stops, haven't you, recently? Berlin and
London. Running all the way around. Yeah, that's key.
Is that a thing or what? I mean,
yeah, I hadn't thought of it, but you're absolutely right.
That's not really related to time, is it? It's more the experience, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think it's only recently I've done that, the walking, so I shouldn't have to stop and walk. And of course, you lose. It's true that it's just the spirit of the thing, but you lose so much time when you walk.
Right.
I mean, so much.
Yeah, you must.
Much.
Do. Of course, you must.
If you're counting in times where 5 minutes count.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you can lose 5 minutes in a mile.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
So if I do run all the way around, even if I'm just trotting, then I'll probably get a better time than I did in Berlin or London.
But is that a pace issue or what is it? What's the kind of...
It's distance.
Yeah.
It's miles in the legs.
Right.
So this summer of miles.
Just running more.
And building up the machine.
Yeah.
I mean, as discussed, I think anyone wants to build their core strength and do other exercises. But me in particular, my legs are the least of it, you know?
Yeah. Your legs will go all day.
You're a born runner.
Yeah.
And you're kind of slim and long. And out you go and you run all day.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm more like a clockwork toy. You kind of, the limbs are not the important bit. You know, I get the machine going, stoke it up.
Yes.
Get the engine all tuned up.
And off you go.
And the limbs will look after themselves.
Yeah.
Although when I did my 15 the other day, when I got back, I did have a bit of quite a bad ache for 36 hours
in
my left
knee.
Thumb.
Your left thumb.
Isn't that weird?
Tell me what happened on the
road. I don't know. I reckon I might have been.
Were you hitching? Were you what happened?
I was hitching. I got a lift for about 4 miles. Like that bloke in the Olympics. Yeah. So, God, it's blowing a wind.
It is.
The wind is blowing in under there. I think that there. We might have been cursed by that witch.
Autumnal.
That's Avro Lancaster's bridge.
Autumnal change.
Yeah. So, I think I was holding it funny. Just holding my hand funny.
Right.
But just because of... It just goes to show over distance, anything can become an injury, you know.
Anything...
Your music player just tapping your skin can become a bleeding wound.
Anything slightly... disharmonic, unharmonious, whatever the word is.
Yeah.
Repeated over 26 miles... can mess you up at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Just any fractional thing. It's weird, isn't it?
Like my toe, my rubbed toe.
Right.
Oh, look at that. But yeah, it's nice to have the marathon part of anything else because it has been a really exciting summer.
Yeah.
It's nice to think about what's next. So having the podcast festival coming up and then the marathon.
Gives it a nice focus.
Got some big, exciting gigs as well. I got loads of nice gigs.
Oh, that's good.
Like the diary's full.
Brilliant.
But also, I'm doing a charity gig at the Apollo.
All right.
I'm doing a charity gig with my favourite band.
That's nice.
Got another Shake with Laughter coming up for Parkinson's.
What's the Apollo one?
It's Roar with Laughter for tigers.
Right, okay.
Well, actually, not just tigers, but right. You know, it's endangered animals.
Well, that
it's always
nice.
A big gig.
Yeah.
I think people might have seen it before. I don't know who's on, but big TV. You know, I think Dire Brian's on. And people
I've
like
seen that.
That
listed. That'll be really nice.
Yeah. And I've always wanted to play the Apollo. I think that as a comedian you kind of chase it for the
it's a great gig
for the
yeah.
career thing, but it's just such a good room.
It is a nice
room. I saw the Flaming Lips in there. I thought I'd love to play that.
You'll
stage.
Storm it. You'll storm that room. It's lovely. Yeah.
Well, that is put simply, I love the charity gigs because it's a chance to get on a big stage.
Yeah,
which my act really suits.
Yeah,
but my level of fame can't sell the tickets for.
So, yeah.
You know, it works a treat.
You get the chance to shine.
And those rooms, once you've played them, you know.
Yeah.
I don't need to go back to the Abbott Hall. I'll always be on that stage.
Yeah.
At some level. So it's an exciting autumn.
You know. Also, the good thing about having a marathon is that, you know, by the end of it, you'll have run a marathon.
That's
right. Quite good fun, isn't it? It's just like knowing that you know, we talk about autumn and change and stuff, and marathons are good for that, aren't they?
Yeah, just absolutely.
Like the experience of doing it.
Well, every run, every little run, is a door you go through and don't come back out of.
Yeah.
And in a way, just the idea of running with that confidence into the future.
Yeah.
Is exactly the kind of belief in the future and the unknown that Keats was having trouble with.
So you're suggesting if he'd had the York Marathon in,
yeah,
he might have made healthier life
he
choices.
Instead of lying about on his sofa making up poems.
Yeah.
Okay, just over the Lee River into Springfield Park. We're going to have a little hill in a second, which is always fun. I've got to prime you up to tell me a story as we go up the hill, because you did
the thing
that to
do,
me last
it?
Time.
Just right at the base of it.
Right. Gorgeous. Nice spot, hey?
Yeah.
It's so nice for the kids that they get some good weather at the end of the summer holidays. Well, throughout the summer holidays for people who didn't go to Edinburgh. It's been great.
So the weather wasn't great when you by the time
you
left?
It was fine, it was fine. Nice summer. Sun on the last day. And then cold enough when I got out of the car to feel like I wasn't missing anything.
Right. So I've got a 10K race on Sunday.
Which one?
I'm doing the Middlesex 10K.
Right.
Which is like... It's in Victoria Park. It's like a kind of...
Straight
is it up here? He's like a serious club runner's fast one, hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, when people say
that's why you didn't invite me. Yeah.
When people
you
say
I slow you down.
When people say courses are fast. It's sort of it's almost like when people say rooms are good. It's about the people in the room, isn't it?
Yeah, and
courses are fast if you're fast.
And they always say courses are fast. Yeah. No one ever says, well, this one's a bit hilly and slow, but you'll enjoy
it. Slow and awkward.
It's just not good advertising. Here we go. So, what's the course?
It's around Victoria Park. So it was one of those...
10K, so it's twice round?
I think it's twice round.
Sounds about right.
Should be flat. If I can kind of... keep fit and stretching and not lying up too stiff, I'd want to just be a good training run, you know.
This hill we're on now is nothing to you because you've been in Croatia, right?
This is... I'm actually haven't even noticed that we're on a hill. It's so ridiculous, the hills in Croatia.
I can immediately feel it in my left knee. It's just not as strong as my right knee. And
quick steps.
The extra work.
Quick light steps. Lean in. Work the arms. Upsy daisy.
I said to my kids,
upsy daisy.
Walk out mountains. Just use the gears.
Yeah.
What you're playing for is not stopping.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling tired or you're worried you're going to get tired, go slower.
Yeah.
Short steps, go slower. Start slow, don't go off too fast.
Yeah.
You know, if you go up a mountain in Lake District and you can see the top of the mountain there.
Yeah.
Then you know you're not going to be up it anytime soon.
Yeah.
So don't go running off up the bottom of it.
It's not a race.
It's not a race.
And even when you are racing, it's not a race to the top of the hill, it's a race to the end of the race.
That's right.
Sometimes you win to the top and then collapse on the brow.
Look at this.
Nice to run a strong brow.
Get you run around that corner in that lake, Springfield Park. Gorgeous spot. Look at this. Running in Springfield Park is nice. I don't know what that tree is. It's not a weeping willow. It's like a birch. Maybe it is a weeping willow. And then out to Enfield there, but it looks nice. Not very romantic to think of it as Enfield. This is another chance for a toilet. Are you all right?
I'm all right. I'm fine, yeah. I'm fine.
Says the duck. So, it's funny how the great mission of the long runs is to not go off too fast.
Yeah.
Can anyone actually manage it? I mean, does anyone not go off too fast?
What, in what, in races?
Yeah, going up hills, going on long marathons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
10Ks, 5Ks. It's a real, it's a tough one to fight.
You need nerves of steel, don't you?
Yeah.
I always set off too fast in the park runs. And I'm fairly experienced, but I always set off too fast. I just can't resist it.
Well, other people really exacerbate it as well.
Yeah.
And it's generally a good thing that the people you're running next to, you think, oh, I'm running about the same speed as this person. And that person you think you're running about the same speed as is your maximum comfortable speed.
Yeah.
Not your medium comfortable speed. And you can't help it. It's not even particularly competitive. You just...
Everyone's running too fast.
It's like finding your level.
Yeah.
And even at my very best, my PBs and things, you know, you just set off too fast and don't slow down.
Yeah.
I've never set off slower and held something back and then got it out later on. Never.
Ah, oh, great to do that, though.
So it's harder to believe in it. If I'd done it once, I go, I did that time. I can pull that out, that skill.
But you haven't consciously tried it.
No, it's true.
It would be a good experiment to try in a park run, just getting to the end of the first lap and thinking, because ours, we tend to run, which is a five-lap course.
Yeah.
After the first lap, you feel comfy.
Yeah.
Second, a little bit tired, but not too tired, and then you've got to pour on, as opposed to the first lap.
Coming into the...
A little bit tired, actually.
Coming into the second and third lap, feeling
a little
like
bit tired, yeah, third lap, I'm knackered, I'm finished.
Lungs, yeah. Yeah. But because part of it is, you don't want to lose that spirit of holding on for a little bit longer.
Yeah, you don't, and also you don't want to lose that spirit of, like, anything's possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Today might be the day where I find this new level of...
That's right.
Whatever it is.
I think that's what it is. It's counterintuitive psychologically. In life, we like to expect the absolute best of ourselves and be ambitious.
Yes.
And then the way we stay the course is to hang in there.
Right.
And starting slow and dropping that extra gear just doesn't fit that metaphor at all.
No.
You don't do that with your career. No, I'm not going to work too hard at the moment. I'm going to work late, you know, at mid-speed, pick up some skills, and then later on I'm going to try and take the world over.
Actually, I think that might be the model I'm following.
Yeah.
I think that might be it.
This is you.
I could have a negative split career.
Nice.
That's a good idea.
Any day now.
Yeah.
But again, in all seriousness, the world doesn't expect that of you.
No.
You know, there's no BBC Old Comedian Award.
No, there isn't, no.
Otherwise, it'd be yours.
Whoa.
Crossing the road up at Clapton, it's pretty...
We've talked about this before, about... culture wanting new voices all the time, and they're not necessarily the best voices.
No, and it's
they're just the most hungry for attention voices.
And it's culture's prerogative.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
but equally,
but those blokes who like come past you at 8 kilometres in a 10K.
Yeah,
and they're a little bit older than you.
Yeah,
and often skinnier than. Way skinnier than me. Yeah. And they look like they're running slow, but they kind of glide past you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They are better runners.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're using what they've got better than me, just desperately clutching at a bottle of water with a stitch at 8K.
Yeah,
do you know,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, the guy with his shoulders around his ears, who must have been 70 if he was a day. Look at that guy's running style. Oh, yeah. I'm seeing his running style again here as he beats me to 3:29.
Yeah, it's like...
And also...
That's the great thing about running, isn't
it? And the other thing about those guys is it's the long game.
Yeah.
You look at them and you think, this 10K is not the only 10K they'll ever run.
Yeah,
it's just another few miles on the great long run of life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the more races you can do, the better, really.
Yeah.
Just get used to that.
The more racist you can be. No, I don't agree with that.
Not the best area to say that as we run through a predominantly Jewish area. Is it Stamford Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Stamford Hill.
But I would avoid racism in all areas of London and the world.
Yeah, of course,
Just a bit of work.
But the more races you do, the less excited you get about the fact it's a race, the more you can use your head better, possibly.
And you're back what we were saying about your, what was your running crew called?
Track Mafia.
Track Mafia. It is, and I think also...
Run them crew.
One of the things about my running hider, which is more useful than I initially realised, is that sense that I didn't used to want to think about how fast I was going or how long it took or how far I'd gone at all.
Okay.
And even now, I still want to look slightly away from that, you know. I'd rather have the thing that's counting my distance sitting in my back pocket than on my wrist.
Right.
And I don't want to count. I want to listen to music, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
A bit of distance from it. You want to still stay meditative.
Yeah, I completely agree, yeah. But those guys who run the same pace throughout and catch you at the end, they seem pretty meditative as well.
That's true. It always
seems fairly chilled
thing.
Out.
Yeah. Definitely accessing that.
Because it is rhythm, isn't it? That's a great thing about the early phases of a marathon, isn't it? You're in this river of people trying to establish a rhythm that's going to carry them to the end.
Yep.
And you sort of, it's very subtle, isn't it, the variations of rhythm between, like, you know, in terms of time between 6:50 and a mile and 7:05.
Yeah. And everyone...
That's a lot. There's a lot on that.
It is like a river, because and over time, everyone's slowing down just slightly.
Yes, yeah.
Unless the absolute...
Even the world-class ones are slowing down.
And it's all just shaking down. It was interesting this year in London how busy it was.
Yeah.
So aware of it on the corners and the narrow bits.
What, just running with all those
people? Yeah, right, and suddenly you think, wow, they're going to all hook into each other's ankles and everything.
Yeah. And but very rare to do that, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
that's
funny
right.
The way you find your space within it.
I wonder what Yorkshire would be like, because it was much more...
much less busy.
Much more spacious.
Right.
But then part of that was because, like in Tommy Tiernan's material... I'd inadvertently kind of set off at the very front.
Right.
So that...
yeah.
It's kind of quite far ahead of all the other runners.
Through no fault of my own.
And they... I don't mean through no fault of mine. It was entirely my fault.
Yeah.
But so they kind of were able to... All the people who were better than me were just able to overtake me one by one in the very sedate
line.
Also, much more... Basically, we need to get a hotel room.
I was thinking that it's now. Actually, we could do that. Yeah, we need to get that sorted.
I don't think we should stay at your dad's. It's too far away.
No.
I'll get sneezy.
Yeah. I mean, God bless him, I love him, but you can't be waking up with a mouthful of cat hair on the morning of the marathon. It's not ideal race prep. Covered in dust and hair. I know.
I got my carb gels and my antihistamines.
Yeah. Get your mask on and a wetsuit.
Good night. I saw an old friend of the family the other day. He's a good guy, he likes his running. And he said, oh, yeah, he's a Scotsman who's lived in Yorkshire for a long time. I said, oh, come and stay with us, you're only 45 minutes away.
It's too far, isn't it?
It's too far.
Yeah.
Excuse us, sorry.
No, you want to be right in the middle of it, don't you?
That's right. So we'll sort that out.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I'll tell you what, mate, we'll have to sort that out beginning of next week, because at the moment my cards are frozen, because when we were on holiday,
someone had
cloned my wife's card and was going on a mad spending spree around Amsterdam.
Oh, right.
Like thousands.
I'll get it. So you get all that money back, right?
Yeah, we've got it back.
Fraud squad will do it.
But, and also, people started shifting money between our accounts.
Wow.
Who works for the bank.
That's really dumb.
So that's currently been investigated.
Certainly isn't common. That's bad.
Well, it was a definite element of stress in the holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time you looked at your account, someone had spent 800 quid in a hotel in Amsterdam.
Yeah,
so that was
not
a shame.
Good at all. I had that years ago.
It happens so often. People cloning cards. It's completely regular, you know.
That's right, and you can see how it happens, because that's why they ask you for that number on the back. Someone somewhere has got the front of your card.
Yeah, right.
And they're using it. Just get you unsettling into common areas.
Okay,
looking concerned about your cards.
But that will
and
be...
And then we found out, because the laptop got delivered to my house. I said, oh no, this is a mistake.
Right.
And then found out that it was one of six laptops that had been purchased, and a couple of long distance bus tickets.
Wow.
But they refunded it all. And then you say, oh, are we going to hear about it? Who did it? Or do we have to come
they've
to court
no,
or anything?
They've got no resources to investigate, have they?
No.
They just accept it as... I mean, that will be... I'm not an apocalyptic... apocalyptic kind of character. Cheeky.
Yeah.
But that's a major area of concern, isn't it? Just massive cybercrime, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Because they can't even be bothered to investigate.
Steal it all.
Yeah.
Well, invisible money is always the problem.
Yeah.
Whether it's inflation or theft. You know, unless you've got the money in your hand.
That's why we'll always want cash. We'll always want cash.
And this is why they always totally say, okay, we'll give you all that money back, because they want you to trust the card.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Nice. Onto the posh bit of Stoke Newington Common. It's good to be home. Surveying the estate.
Yeah.
Say the posh bit. It looked like someone's been living on that bench. But these houses are nice.
So I'm going for a night out in Amberley Castle tonight with my wife.
Oh, yeah. Where's Amberley Castle?
It's...
How are you going to pay for it?
Well, we've got to pay in cash. She booked it by card, but we've got to chip to the bank and get the cash for it. So it's like, feels like you're on the run paying for a hotel room in cash.
Yeah, nice.
But it was where I asked dear old Rachel to marry me.
Oh.
That was years ago, so we're going back to the same place.
Is it your anniversary?
It's not. She's just given us it for a birthday present. To be honest, it's a bit inconvenient.
You're so mean.
It's Wednesday and I could do without it. But it will be good fun.
You're going to miss the bake-off, for goodness sake.
Oh, we'll be watching the bake-off.
Oh, good.
Don't you worry about that. Nothing's bigger than the bake-off.
So you proposed at Amberley Castle?
Yes.
How long ago?
That would have been about 19 years ago.
Ah.
Yeah, we married 18 years.
Very good.
So quite a while.
18 years. Found out wooden ears.
You get less than that for murder, mate.
Ah, the true comedian.
What did you say?
The true comedian.
What did you say?
Always purports sudden hearer.
All right.
The true comedian always purports to hate his partner.
Yes. Here we go.
And we got a little break here as we wait to cross St. Newington High Street. Shard in the distance.
Just chilling,
man.
Chilling and crossing.
Chilling and crossing and getting into Kynaston Avenue. Nearly home now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I miss running with you, Ned.
Come on,
mate.
You do
a circuit. I'm going to wait here. That's right. I'm not doing it. I know we've got to get the miles up, but I just don't think this is the way we're going to do it. Damn it. There he goes. I'm envying it now. Great. How do you feel?
I feel great, mate. Ready for it.
Yeah. See, I feel like I'm not going to be able to match you now because I didn't do that. Yeah, even though we got a running in Edinburgh, I was out running, not on that really long run.
You just missed the circuit.
I missed running with you. You know, I had things to say.
Yeah.
Stories to tell.
Did you run with the other comics at all after?
No, it was funny because me and Mark, pretty much everyone we interviewed said, oh, we're meeting that last week.
Yeah.
The closest I got was with Simon Evans.
Right.
It's amazing how it gets more difficult at the end. You're doing all the same things. But it still kind of rushes to the finish.
And everyone's so desperate to leave, kind of becomes the overriding
that's
thought.
That's right. Me and Simon, we were going to meet one day, we're going to meet the next day. We chased it, you know, we nearly got there. But we still didn't. But I saw them, I saw lots of people came on my game show, so that was fun.
Right, that's good.
It was great fun, my game show. You've done it, haven't you? Did it in Leicester that time?
Yeah, the beat this one.
That's it.
I wasn't particularly very good at it, actually. I don't think I was very good there.
Well, I think
I'm not used to being on stage with others. I don't quite know how to behave.
Yeah.
And I don't know that much about music.
Yeah, but you don't need to know a lot about music. Yeah. But I think that the opposite is true with me. I do think, and that was one of the good things that the Edinburgh Festival reminded me, is I'm good at hosting.
Yeah.
You know, which isn't not something I necessarily do for a job. It's part of that raft of things we do that aren't getting on stage and doing our set, you know?
Right, yeah.
I really do like being on stage and kind of marshalling a bunch of people.
Yes.
Because I did my pop quiz and I did a hosted Comedians Countdown.
That's a lot of hosting.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of hosting.
And I liked it. I think I can do that. I think I can. It's that thing of we're saying about running, of on the one hand being in control of it and thinking about what needs to happen and planning and all that kind of front brain stuff. But on the other hand, just riding across it and
just
having a good time.
Yeah.
Being free. And I can do that. And doing the radio stuff as well. It's like this. It's always nice to talk without necessarily getting the guitar out or heading for a punchline. Because I could listen to myself all day. Really.
But maybe that's what...
I never shut up.
But maybe that's what... Something that might be a takeaway from it, isn't it, from Edinburgh?
I didn't have that many. I was trying to be as healthy as I could.
But the... But that's you putting a punchline. But the... creating more opportunities for hosting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if it's something, you know...
Yeah.
If it's something you can do, there's not many people actually can do that.
No, exactly.
Do it well.
No, it suits my... comedic voice, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, and not least, because also... The other thing, I say, no, I do the old quizzing. And that is something that's very hard to factor in any useful way.
I always get lost right near the end.
Unless you want to go back and go around Kenniston Gardens again. You know, I've quite got good general knowledge. I've done the old quizzes.
Yeah.
And they go well, but it's a fun thing to do, but it doesn't really go anywhere. Whereas I think that to host a quiz, as somebody who's quite good at quizzes...
And you like it.
It means you can hold your own in that conversation.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're hosting Countdown, you don't have to do all the words and the numbers. But every now and again, you do.
You come in with it,
You've got, like, a relationship with it. It's good. It's good stuff. That's right. Having the Twisters. Enjoy. Mind your scooter. Cool boys.
Children. Hackney kids.
They're all dressed up. Are they together?
Hackney
against
kids.
A superhero fancy dress party.
Neville Road, Rainbow Nursery.
Ah, the memories.
Oh. Is that a synagogue there? It's like a synagogue, is it?
Yeah. Mazel tov. It said on the front. I'm just passing it on. But the fuchsia's all falling down.
And we didn't even chat about the Olympics. I hardly saw any of the Olympics. Because of the time. Because I was on holiday. It's a real shame.
Well, I saw one thing. It was really good, actually. And I think I had this...
I miss Mo. I miss Bolt. I missed her.
See, I didn't really care about it. But unlike in the years before, I got that it was good, you know?
Yeah.
Because I knew I wasn't going to care about London. but I could still see how amazing it was.
Yeah.
And then
I love London, yeah.
And then I think the UK still really enjoyed Rio because of the memory of London.
Yeah.
And for me, I came down out of Edinburgh after that first week. I stayed over at my mum's. You know, and me and my mum have had some drama this year with all my dad's stuff.
Yeah.
We sat and had a couple of glasses of wine and watched Andy Murray. Andy Murray's fantastic
against
final with Del Potro.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I felt that, you know, Andy Murray's Wimbledon helped me get through the referendum. So
yeah.
I'd really like to thank Andy Murray.
He's amazing, isn't he?
Shining light in the darkness at some of the tougher times of the year.
Well, it's amazing as an example of someone who battled for years. And now it's opening up for him.
Yeah.
I mean, not only is he winning tournaments, but potentially world number one, because Djokovic is getting injured.
That's right.
And he's just started to... That marathon, not a sprint thing.
He's
just
a winner.
Battled and battled and worked and worked.
It doesn't look easy, and yet it does. He looks amazing.
Yeah, he's...
And the other thing is, he's got that Scottish voice, right, which is just so wonderful to enjoy. That's the thing, is that sometimes when people talk, when girls talk in that way, they're so cool because they fry their voice. But only Andy Murray can deep fry his voice.
Yes, yes.
My voice is deep fried and battered.
I'm so miserable. Me and my mum have the same haircut.
I won everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, I don't know
it's
how
amazing to
feel to
be number
happiness.
One. I always remember when he won his first Grand Slam, the US Open.
Yeah.
And he was like... I found it very moving because I'm into Murray.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. And then he was just shouting at his girlfriend to get the watch out of the bag that he needed to wear for the sponsor. He was like, "Where's the watch?
I need the sponsor.
Get the watch." He was like,
"Yes."
He was funny.
Be in the moment, Andy. Be in the moment. The phone can't keep up. I want to get a picture of us sprinting this last couple hundred yards, but the phone doesn't like it.
Crash!
Whoa! Hey, how's the lovely Julia Deering? I bet she'd love to be in a photo with us. Hey, I bet Julia Deering would love to be in a photo with us.
Splendid.
No, she's running away.
Splendid.
She says no, she'd turn her face away like the witch.
Nice little run there.
Yep, the wife not pictured. So, let me just see how far we went before we finish.
It's about...
We travelled... Listeners, bare feet and all. Oh, 8.29.
Cool, that's all right.
Yeah. Oh, we're still talking.
A few miles.
Yeah.
Two, that's nice.
Runcompod on Twitter, Instagram. See you on Facebook. If you're training for Yorkshire, let us know how it's going.
We've got the podcast.
Festival. We'll see you at King's Place on September 24th. Farewell.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
With Paul Tompkinson and Rob Deering.